Taylor is truly, she's truly a blessing. She's a blessing to the kingdom. Y'all can't hear me? I said Taylor's a blessing to the kingdom. She really is, and I am grateful to serve alongside of her. I'm excited about being in here with you guys tonight. Are y'all excited to have me? Okay. But more than that, I'm excited that the Lord is here. Because if we was just coming and the Lord's presence wasn't here, then our coming would be in vain. I'm excited about the teaching tonight. We're going to talk about how to share your faith. So let's just go before God in a word of prayer. God, again, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for being such a good, good Father. We thank you, God, for the plans that you have for our lives. God, your word declared to Jeremiah before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb, you not only knew him, but you had a plan for him. And God, I know that this is true for each individual that's in here tonight. And I am so grateful, God, that you have planted us all in a ministry that's truly about our God-given potential, that's about us taking next steps. And God, even with this teaching tonight, it's a next step for so many. And I pray, Father God, that you would give me words that are clear, words that are from you, God. I don't want to say anything that's of my own, but God, I only want to speak and teach, God, what you would have me to say. I pray, God, for clarity of thought, clarity of speech. I also pray, God, that every heart is open to receive the planting of your word. I pray, God, that this word would challenge your people. Challenge them, oh God, to take next steps. I pray, God, that they would know, God, that this teaching is not just for those that are in position, spiritual leadership position, but it's something for all of us to do. And we're so grateful, God, that you would include us in your plan to help lead others to Christ. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm excited. Y'all already have your books open. We're going to talk about how to share your faith. I want to preface tonight's teaching by saying this, that a person's last words are very powerful. A person's last words tell you a lot about their value, what they hold dearest to their hearts. It tells you a lot about their character, about their personality. With that being said, I want to focus on Jesus' last words, not his last words while he was on the cross, but his last words before he ascended back to the Father. You'll find it in Matthew, I believe, the 26th chapter. Or rather, Matthew, the 28th chapter. You don't have to turn there. Mark, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 24th chapter. And even in Acts, the 1st chapter. Jesus' last words here on earth was a commission to his disciples, 11 disciples, because Judas had hung himself. But the commission was to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus had given his disciples. Now, for some, they would say, well, that was for the 11. That's not for us. That was just for the 11 disciples. Well, when you look at the book of Acts and you look at it in its totality, we understand that even though Jesus was speaking to the 11, but it wasn't just for the 11. It was for the disciples then. It was for the first century church, and it's for us today. In fact, even in the book of Acts, because Jesus told them, I want you to begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, in Acts, the 8th chapter, because the church was complacent. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, but the church had become complacent. And they was just comfortable in Jerusalem. But the Bible talks about how the church was being persecuted by Saul, who was later, name was changed to Paul. But the Bible says that because of the persecution, that believers went everywhere and they began to share the gospel. Philip in Acts, the 9th chapter, I believe, talks about how Philip went down to Samaria. Well, when you look at the book of Acts, the disciples, if not all of them, the majority of them, they stayed in Jerusalem. They never left Jerusalem. But the other believers, those who were birthed on the day of Pentecost and the other believers, they began to go everywhere and spread the gospel. So I said that because I want to give clarity that the Great Commission is not just for the preachers or those with titles in front of their names. The Great Commission is for all of us. There's a difference between personal evangelism and the office of the ministry of an evangelist. And we know that Pastor Alvin is an evangelist. God has given him a special measure of grace and faith to go out and to minister to the lost. But we are all called to personal evangelism. We're all priests of the Lord. We all have a responsibility to share our faith, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. So I just wanted us to make sure that we're all on the same page, that God expects every last one of us to share our faith. Are we good? It would be just like in Psalms 150, the very last scripture in the book of Psalms, Psalms 150 and 6 says, "Let everything or everyone that have breath praise the Lord." How many of you all remember that scripture? We all, if you have breath, if you're breathing, you're expected to give God the praise. But not everybody has the gift of leading somebody in praise and worship. Everybody don't have the gift of Pastor Cody. Are you with me? So I just want to give that clarity that we all have a responsibility to evangelize. We're going to look at the three basic steps to witnessing. It's the approach, the conversation, and the invitation. So the approach, the conversation, and the invitation. All three of these must be guided by love. We must be guided by love in whatever we do. We must, first of all, love God, and we have to love people. So just write that down. Yes, the approach, the conversation, and the invitation must all be guided by love. And we're not in this alone because God has empowered us with His Spirit to carry out the commission. We must rely on God's Holy Spirit to do the work in the lives of the people. We must be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because if we are not sensitive to each situation, each individual, we can sometimes, out of sincerity of heart, compromise what God is trying to do in somebody else's life. So we have to be sensitive and rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But let's look at the different approaches. First of all, I want to say this: we must be aware of our surroundings. When we're talking about the different approaches, we have to be aware of our surroundings, because we have opportunities every day to share our faith with someone. We have opportunities while we're at work. We have opportunities while I'm over at Chevron getting a burger and some fries. I mean, it is a ministry field for me. Just because I started going over there every day getting burgers and fries, and I did more than minister, you know. I'm healthy, but sincerely, God has opened up such an evangelistic field for me just because they see me every day. But I had to be aware of that. So we have to be aware of our surroundings and of the opportunities that God is presenting us. But the first step in witnessing is the approach. There are a number of different approaches used by a variety of men and women in the Bible from which we can learn from. First of all, is Peter's confrontational approach. Peter's confrontational approach. Now, this approach is the for those who are very bold. We know Peter was a man who was fearless. You know, Peter was the type of dude that whatever was on his mind, he spoke it. And I know a lot of people criticize Peter for his boldness, but Peter actually said what a lot of the disciples were thinking. Peter was willing to do what they wanted to do, but they was just afraid to do it. But there's the confrontational approach, where you have to be bold and very direct and straight up front with the individual. You have to take a stand and just, you know, present them with the gospel. But I want to say this here about those who have this bold approach. You have to be careful and not allow your boldness to turn into being rude. Because I've seen some people, I'm talking about people who love the Lord, that were rude in their witness. And we're not going to talk about the church right up 69 North. But we cannot allow our boldness to become rude to where we are offending people. But there are some of us, you know, we're straight to the point. We don't beat around the bush. We just, come out with it. God used Peter on the day of Pentecost to witness, and over 3,000 people were saved. So there are some who are just straight out and straight up front. But then there's Paul's intellectual approach. I'm not going to look over there. I see y'all keep looking over there, so I don't know what's going on, but I'm gonna look this way. But we're going to get it worked out. Peter's intellectual approach. This type of approach is for people who are more analytical, people that you have to reason with, people that you have to, you know, put it out before them. This here will work well with the millennials, where they want to know everything. You got to explain everything. You got to show me. They want to know why, when, how, you know. And there are those individuals that are wired like that. But God have people in the kingdom to minister and share their faith with people that's like that. Now, I will say this here about those with the intellectual approach. You probably need to know more in John 3:16, because it's kind of hard to reason with somebody, and all you're able to say is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That's King James, Lord help me, because they may not know begotten. But you're going to have to tell them why, you know. So you're going to need some scriptures if you're going to use the intellectual approach. In 1 Peter 3 and 15, and I'm reading the New International Version, it says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So you have to be ready to give an answer. You have to be ready to lay it out for them. But I want to say this here. We are to provide a reasonable answer to an honest question, because there are some people who want to just get into a religious debate with you. And we have to be like Jesus and know how to deal with those people and not get caught up in that. But there are some people, like I say, you're going to have to be more thorough with. And then there's the blind man's testimonial approach. This is mine. It's just simply about telling your story. It's about telling what Jesus has done for you. We find this story in John, the ninth chapter. Jesus heals this man who had been blind from birth. And so the religious leaders, you know, they was wanting to know, you know, what happened. In fact, the Bible talks about how the religious leaders were saying Jesus was a sinner. And so this blind man is like, "Hey, guys, I don't know if he's a sinner or what. All I know is I was blind, but now I see." So even if you can't quote two scriptures, you got a story to tell. You have a story to tell. So just simply sharing your story. You don't have to know Greek, Hebrew, all of that, but we all have a story to tell. So just simply telling your story. In Revelations 12 and 11 says, and they have overcame or conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. So just share your story with someone. Then there's Matthew's interpersonal approach. is sharing your faith by establishing relationships. Some of us, we share our faith with a stranger that we'll never see again, and that's wonderful. But some of us, God is wanting us to build relationships with people. And that's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take effort. It's going to require us to live what we're talking about. It may be your coworkers, your family, your neighbors, but you want to build a relationship. And this will take some time so that you can share your story. We see in, as it relates to Matthew, we see in Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 29, where he gave a banquet and he called all of his tax collector buddies, or he called all of his IRS friends. They dwindled people out of their money. They were considered outcasts. But he called all of these people to this banquet. But he had built a relationship with them. Sometimes it's kind of hard to share your faith with a coworker that you're at odds with. That's why it is so important, people of God, that we be the light. We're not perfect. For me, I cannot tell you the number of times that I've gone back to a coworker and said, I'm sorry. There are times God have had me to go back and apologize to people, and I'm like, God, but I didn't do nothing wrong. He said, but I'm opening a door for you to minister to somebody. There are individuals that go to this church right now that we had some choicey words, but because I was willing to humble myself and go back to that individual, then I was able to share the love of God with that individual. Are y'all with me? So, in a personal approach. And then there's the Samaritan woman's invitational approach. And you'll find the story in John, the 4th chapter, where Jesus has this encounter with this woman from Samaria. She had some issues. She was religious, for number one. Number two, she had some situations. She had been married 5 times, and Jesus tells her, the guy you're with is not even your husband. But everything Jesus did and everything we should do should be with compassion. We have to be compassionate and meet people right where they are without compromising. And so Jesus, you know, engages in this conversation. Of course, this woman drops her water pots. In essence, is she surrendered her life to the Lord. And the very first thing she do, Dan, is she goes back to the city of Samaria. Now, the King James says she told the men. That figures. She got the issues with the guys. The women probably didn't talk to her, you know. So the Bible says she told the men to come see a man who has told me everything I've ever done. The Bible says that many of the people in that city, they went to see Jesus. And in John, the 4th chapter, verses 39 says that many believe because of this woman's story. But in verse 41, it says many more believe because of Jesus' own words. So she went back and she began to tell people, come see a man that's told me everything. She invited people to come see Jesus. But if she was inviting people to come see Jesus, Jesus was going to see them. And so many believe because of what she said, but many more believe because they had their own personal experience with Jesus. So this type of approach, invite people to church. You know, invite them. Invite them to come not just to a church service, but invite them to come and have an encounter with Jesus. And let me say this here about inviting people to church. If you're not excited about your church, why don't you come go with me, Sunday? We got 2 services. If you're not excited, trust me, they're not going to be excited. I've actually had coworkers say, okay, Jolene, we know you love Timber Creek. We know God is moving at Timber Creek. And actually, because of that, I have another coworker that goes to church here. It's not me, it's the Christ in me. But you have to be excited about your church. And then you're able to invite people, and they'll come, and they'll see for themselves. Now, George Berner's research shows that 25% of adults in the United States would come to church if a friend would just invite them. Can you imagine the impact we would have if we would just invite somebody? And let me say this, you don't have to have been saved for years, because research also shows, out of a survey of thousands of churches, that in the congregation, the majority of the people that invite people to church are people that's been saved less than a year, because they're excited. Y'all see anybody, you know, well, we all have been saved. You know how excited we are? We want to go out and just win the world for the Lord. And then somewhere along the way, we can tend to become complacent. But this here teaching is about reigniting your fire and your passion for evangelizing. So inviting somebody. And then there's the Dorcas service approach. It's just simply about putting your faith in action. Some people don't want to know what you have to say until they know how much you care. I've seen homeless people that, and I'm careful, you have to use wisdom. Jesus sent his disciples out. He said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So you got to use wisdom. But I've seen homeless people that, I didn't talk to them about the Lord when I first saw them. I bought them something to eat. I went and got them water and took to them. And then there was this one instance where it was like 3 or 4 months later, and I encountered this same individual, and then I invited them to church. Can you imagine somebody being homeless, hungry, and I'm there trying to tell them about a Savior who loves them? Because this is the deal. We are the church. This is a church building, but we are the church. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so sometimes we have to just put our faith in action and serve people's physical needs before we can ever minister to their spiritual needs. I love what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And I need to hear you on this part. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And it's really verses 19 through 23. But in essence, what he said is, I become all things to all men so that I can win some for Christ. In other words, he met people right where they are. He found the common ground so he could minister to people. And so you may want to, it's too cold to be throwing outdoors parties, but you may want to throw a Christmas party and invite your neighbors. Now, I have to be honest with you guys. This is not my approach. It's not statistically, because I'm very careful about who I invite into my house. We have to use wisdom, because we're living in a day and a time where it might not necessarily be wise for all your neighbors to know you and know what's in your home. But I'm just saying, be creative. Most of all, be open. And God will lead you and show you what areas you're most effective in. Okay? So there are several opportunities that we have here at the church as it relates to outreach. And so I know we're through for this year as it relates to the outreach ministries, but just keep your ears open. But most of all, like I said, the Lord will show you what to do. Guys, you may want to invite either girls, some unsaved friends or co-workers over when the Cowboys are playing in the Super Bowl. You just have to be creative. Yes, you have to be creative. So with that being said, what we're going to do at this time is we're going to do an evangelism style quiz, and you should find that in the appendix. I believe it is in the back of your books. You don't look like Peter. You look more like John. Okay, awesome, though. What about intellectual? Yeah, I can see that. I can see it, yes. You're just all over the place. That's good, though. What about testimonial? Now, that's for me. Okay. What about interpersonal? Yeah, that's me. Yes. Invitational. Yeah. So that means none of the rest of us, shame on you all. You're not inviting people to come to church with you. Okay, what about serving? Yeah. It's not mine. Yeah. I serve. I go to the nursing homes, but unfortunately, most of them, they can't come. But sometimes you just take the gospel with you. I want to say this here real quick, and we're going to move on. I used to go to the nursing home every first and second Monday of the month, and I used to minister, you know, there. And it's this one lady, she's deceased now, Miss Ida Benjamin. And she would play the piano. She was 90-something. She would play the piano, and I would minister, and half of them would be sleeping and all of that. But I'm telling you guys, this was probably about 6 months ago. It was me working at the post office. This lady, you know, I knew she loved the Lord. You know, some people you could just tell. We got to talking. She was Miss Ida Benjamin's daughter. And then I met her granddaughter. Do y'all know how that made me feel to be able to share with them, because Miss Ida's gone on to be with the Lord, that, you know, I used to have church with her mom and grandmother. I'm just saying, it's amazing when you just, you know, just allow God to just expand you. It's amazing. But let's move on. So now you guys, you know which approach you can be most effective in sharing your faith in. So now look at somebody and tell them there's no more excuses. You've been set up tonight. Yep, no more excuses. We've identified which approach is most effective for us. So let's move on. I don't have a lot of time, and I love to talk, but God is going to help me. So let's look at the conversation. There are three parts to it. We've looked at the approach. Let's look at the conversation. Okay, I'm like Pastor Jeremy. We're gonna go through these like a fire hydrant. I don't know, I already messed it up. But y'all know what I mean? We're going to zoom through this. So, number one, be yourself. Be real. Be a good listener. Listen to them talk. So, be yourself. Don't try to be what you're not. But you got to be a good listener, too. Because sometimes people want you to hear their story. We have to be sensitive to people. Number two, don't pretend to have all the answers, because none of us have all the answers. Sometimes that's a turnoff. So don't pretend to have all the answers. If somebody asks you, you know, an answer, and they're sincere about it, and you don't know it, just simply tell them, "I don't know." And then, you know, I wouldn't advise you to start Googling, you know, this and that, because that could be dangerous. But, you know, look for it in Scripture, or either get with a very mature Christ follower and get the answer for them. Tell them you'll get back with them. And then number three is lift up the name of Jesus. It is so important to always lift up the name of Jesus, because after all, it's all about Jesus. In John 12:32, Jesus says, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." So it's so important that we lift up Jesus, because Jesus is the one that's drawing. We only conduits. We only convey the message. But it's Jesus that draws people to him. And just think about this. You remember when somebody witnessed and ministered to you? Y'all remember? Okay. So, some of you all, if you like me, a lot of times it was a turnoff because they lifted up everything but Jesus. But we want to lift up Jesus. Okay. Let's look at the invitation. Again, number one, be bold. We're talking about the invitation now, extending Christ to people. You conversated with them, but now it's about the invitation. Again, you don't want to be pushy. You want to lift Jesus up, but you want to be sensitive, again, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The invitation tends to be more awkward than even witnessing. So don't get caught up in the moment. Is this the right time? Should I not? Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he'll show you exactly when he'll open that door. Okay? Number two, keep the basic message. And the basic message is simply Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. He is the Son of God. He can forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our sins. That's the basic. We want to keep it basic. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we're simply just sharing with people that if you invite Jesus in your heart, you know, he'll forgive you of your sins. You know, he'll make all things new. Number 3, ask them if they want to ask Jesus into their heart. This is key. This is the key to it all. This is where you begin to bring in the net. So we've told people about Jesus, but now it comes a point where we just simply ask them. People can be ignorant of the Bible and still get saved, but they cannot be ignorant of Jesus and get saved. So we must tell them about Jesus. There's a scripture in Romans 10 and 13, but I'm reminded of Romans 10 and 9 where it says that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. So we want to keep it basic. We don't want to get into a bunch of debates, you know, but we want to lift Jesus up. We ask him, are you ready to invite him into your heart? And if they are, then you just lead them in the sinner's prayer. You want to make sure that they acknowledge their sins, that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior. Ever how that looks for you? But they need to verbally say it. And at this point, we can't get caught up in emotions. Because I know you get excited or whatever, but you want to make sure that they're verbally saying it. And then you want to affirm, you know, now you're a new person. You're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit. But just keep it basic. Okay? Number 4. Once they have received Christ into their heart, share the three-legged stool with them. What is the three-legged stool? It is the three practices that are vital to sustaining our walk with Christ. So it's vital that once a person gets saved, that we just don't leave them like that. We want to encourage them to, number 1, read the Bible daily. And we really believe, you know, it's important to, you know, to tell them about the Gospel of John, because when you look in the Gospel of John, it tells you about who you are, but it also tells you about who Christ is. You don't want them to go to Leviticus or Deuteronomy. So let's try to lead them in the Gospel of John, the book of Acts. Also, you want to encourage them to pray daily, to spend time with God on a regular basis. Prayer entails talking to the Lord, and we believe it's vital to begin prayers with thanksgiving, just thanking God for who he is, thanking God for what he's done, and then begin to ask the Lord. But let me say this here about prayer. Prayer is not just us talking, but prayer is also us being still sometime and just sitting in the presence of the Lord and allow him to talk to us. But then when you got a new believer, sometimes they may not understand all this, so just, you know, kind of, you know, be careful, but like I say, just encourage them to pray. And number 3 is we want to encourage them to get plugged into a church. Everybody say A. A church. It may not be Timocree. Now, of course, we're going to encourage them because we know what the Lord is doing for us here. And we are truly blessed to be a part of such an awesome ministry. So, of course, we're going to invite them to Timocree. But I need to be honest and say that Timocree is not for everybody. I have some friends who love the Lord, but they wouldn't make it here. If they listen, and I'm not calling our names, so if they're listening and it hits them, it's just the Holy Spirit convicting them. They're very legalistic. If you wear pantyhose, they think you're going to hell. You can't chew gum in the sanctuary. So they went to Timothy, and they love the Lord. And they're doing good where they are. But Timocree is not for them. So Timocree is not for everybody. Okay? So, number 5, if they do not want to ask Jesus into their heart, simply invite them to church. At this point, because everybody may not accept the Lord, you do everything you know to do, you are led by the Lord, and still they may say no. At this point, again, you can't get in your feelings, you know. You can't get upset with somebody. You can't be pushy. Because Paul said, one plant, one waters, but God gives the increase. Trust me, I didn't surrender the first time I was told about the Lord. So they may say no. The word says it's with loving kindness that God has drawn us. So we have to still love people right where they are and know that they still matter to the Lord. Where am I at? My time is running out. So you invite them to come to church, and if they don't want to accept Jesus into their hearts, simply invite them to come to church and then do a follow-up with them afterward. You know, and tell them, you know, I'm going to save a seat for you. Or tell them, hey, let's go out and just have lunch next Friday. Because, again, sometimes people just want to see how much do you really care. Okay? So, and then there are scriptures, Luke 10 and 16. Because if they're rejecting you, understand they're really rejecting the Lord. We're only vessels. Jesus said, you know, if they reject you, you know, they reject me. So let's just remember that. Number six, if they have already asked Jesus into their hearts, ask them if they have any personal needs that you can pray with them about. So if they've accepted Jesus, just ask them, is there anything personal, any personal needs I can be praying with you about? I have to be honest with you guys. I have been guilty in the past of telling people, okay, I'll pray for you. You know, I'm gonna be praying with you on that. And I sincerely mean it. But how many, you know, we go through so much in the course of a day. Sometimes we're hit left, right, and we forget to pray for some folks. And plus, I'm 52. So what I do now, Miss Sally, is I just pray for them right there. So if somebody asks me to pray, God is so amazing. Because even on my job, normally the people that I genuinely need to pray for, it's not even online. There are people that have come to the post office I've never met. And they just begin to open up and share with me and share their personal needs. And I understand I get paid to sell stamps in the process packages. But I'm a believer. And when the opportunity presents itself, I do that. And so there have been people I pray with. There have been people who I had to deliver cremation ashes to. Yes. And God said, this is an opportunity. It wasn't even anybody else in the line. We had four other clerks up there. And if y'all come to the post office all the time, y'all know we are normally understaffed. And it's been times where I went outside in the foyer and presented the ashes to them and prayed with them. I don't know how I got there, but let me get back over here. But seriously, ask them if they have something, you know, personal that you need to pray with them about. And then after you done pray with them, again, invite them to church or give them a church invite card. You never leave them empty-handed. Even if you don't have a card to give them, make an impression, a lasting impression that they know that God loves them because God has sent his child, you know, to share with them. Okay, so if they receive the Lord for the first time or if they rededicate their life to him, be sure to follow up with them. This is one I've seen so many times where the ball is dropped. Again, y'all, I can't say that because this is a recording, but I'm just saying, sometimes you don't know how good you have it until you've experienced a lot of bad. I'm just saying, some of y'all, this is all y'all know. But I'm telling y'all, we are truly blessed. Until you experience, you know, you don't realize how good you are. Our leadership is so strategic about helping us take next steps. This ministry is so strategic about helping people in general take next steps. This is a ministry where anybody can come to. But we believe in people taking next steps. And also, follow up. You know, one of our core values, we don't do life alone. So follow up with people. Whether they accept Jesus, rededicate, or even if they don't, follow up with them, okay? So Always remember. I'm doing good, Taylor, and I got my minute that you took. Always remember. We're winding it up. The method or the style you use to witness will never be more important than the message you are bringing. That's key. The method changes, but the message stays the same. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus was resurrected. Jesus loves you. Jesus will forgive you of your sins. So, but the method changes. Your style of witnessing is unique. So let God develop it through you wherever you go. Each of us, we're unique. Our style is unique, so allow God to continue to develop that. Never take an opportunity for granted. Simply share your story. I'm telling you, opportunities are before us every day. We just have to be aware of it. We just have to be aware of it. Making witnessing a lifestyle. The more you witness, the more opportunities to witness you will see. So witnessing is supposed to be a lifestyle for us. In 1 Peter, I believe 1 Peter 2 and 9, where he talks about how we are a royal priesthood, or we are a kingdom of priests, how we are a holy nation, God's holy people, how we've been chosen, how God has brought us out of darkness into, one translation say, into his marvelous light. God saved us to be a facilitator and help save others. He says we're a kingdom of priests. If you know anything about priests, especially biblical priests, even in the tabernacle of Moses, then you know a lot of us know about the tabernacle of Moses and even the temple. There were no cherubs in there because the priests were always busy. They were first of all ministering to the Lord, but then they would minister to the people, whether it was keeping oil in the lamps or bringing the sacrifice or whatever. But priests are busy. We're all ministers. We're all ministers. You don't have to have a title in front of your name. As I even started out, you don't have to have a title in front of your name to evangelize. God expects all of us as Christ followers to not just get discipled, but to be a disciple. We have a responsibility that after we accept the Lord, after we are taught the word, and after we begin to grow, we have a responsibility to go out and minister to somebody else. Heaven is real, and we are excited because we know that one day we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. But can I tell you, hell is real too? Hell is real. And everyone that have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says, is going to burn for eternity. They're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. We have a responsibility, people of God, to minister to the lost. You don't have to go to Africa. Just look for the opportunity on your job. Look for the opportunity in your neighborhood. We have unsaved family members. That's why it's so important that we live the life. Let us pray. Father God, again, we just come, Lord, first of all, God, just thanking you for giving Jesus, God, who willingly laid his life down for us all. Yes, God, we are saved, and we are grateful, God, to be a part of your family. But God, we realize that we have a responsibility, God, and I pray, Father, I pray, God, that your people, including myself, because we're not exempt, that, God, we would take the call to evangelize seriously. If we've been slack, God, we know, God, because you're forgiving, God, forgive us. if we have not looked for the opportunities to share Jesus with somebody else, forgive us. And we are asking, oh God, that you, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, will show us those individuals that you put in our path to minister to. Because, God, we know that you are not slow concerning your promise. We know, God, that you're going to come, Jesus is coming back again. But we know, God, that you desire to see every soul saved. So, God, just help us, God, to be aware of the opportunities that you're putting in front of us, to take the different methods that we are now aware of that's most effective in our evangelistic style, to take these methods, Father, and just convey the love of God and convey to people that Jesus loves them and he wants to save them too. He wants them to be a part of the body of Christ. Bless us, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.